Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. A welcome ripple down reported today in the number of newly laid off workers filing initial claims for jobless benefits last week. But the overall trend in unemployment? Painfully up, and way up, despite the huge stimulus bill passed in February. So, do we need another stimulus? This hour on Point, we'll talk with top Obama economic advisor Christina Romer and hear the debate over another round of stimulus. You can join the conversation. Do you look at the deficit and say, no way? Do you look at the unemployment rate and say, yes, please? Is it time, near time, to pull the trigger on more federal stimulus or not? You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. In a moment, we will hear from the chair of President Obama's Council of Economic Advisors, Christina Romer. But joining me first from Washington is Jerry Seib, executive Washington editor of The Wall Street Journal, where he writes the Capital Journal column. Jerry, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Happy to be here.
So here we've got billionaire investor Warren Buffett. He says, yes, I guess. He says, it looks like we're going to need more medicine, not less. The recovery hasn't really got going. Larry Summers, another top advisor, economic advisor to the president, says, no, what we've got so far on stimulus looks like it's working. And yet there's a real debate in Washington. Jerry, what's going on?
Well, there is a real debate in Washington. And what you have here, I think, are essentially three camps on the stimulus kind of taking shape. The first camp says, well, it's just not working. The second camp says, well, it hasn't had enough time to really kick in yet. And the third camp says, well, things would be much worse in the unemployment picture if not for the stimulus. It's worked a little bit, and it's prevented things from being worse than they appear now. You pretty much have Republicans in the first category of it's not working, and the administration and Democrats in various parts of the second and third camps. And so I think there's not a consensus yet that there ought to be more stimulus. There's a discussion beginning. If there were to be something done, I think it wouldn't happen until the fall. But you have to start laying the groundwork now if you're going to do it. And I think the problem for the administration is it's somewhat trapped inside a rhetorical bind, which is to say if your main argument is that the stimulus that's out there just hasn't had quite enough time to work yet, then it's hard to at the same time argue you ought to get started on another stimulus package, because if it's really going to work soon, you don't really need that.
It's interesting, the White House keeping its options open here. And we saw Robert Nabors at the Office of Management and Budget testifying before Congress yesterday saying no one in the administration is talking about a second stimulus at this point. And then on Air Force One, Press Secretary Robert Gibbs, Jerry, saying President Obama is not ruling anything out, but at the same time he's not ruling anything in. We continue to watch what's going on. I mean, the door is held open there.
It is being held open, and I think the president very conspicuously held it open. But I think you have to distinguish between that and believing that there is a need for a stimulus as opposed to simply entertaining the possibility. There's also the political reality, which is that right now it would be very difficult to get anything called a second stimulus package through Congress. You have a lot of people there in both parties who do say it's not been given enough time to work so far. Why do we want to get ahead of ourselves? It was pretty tough medicine to get through the first time. We don't want another dose. And you also have Republicans who just simply insist the way the stimulus package was done the first time around was flawed, and we're not going to do more of that in any case. And the reality out in the land is that concern about the budget deficit is going up fairly quickly. It now almost rivals concern about unemployment as a pressing economic issue when you poll people and ask them what they're most worried about. Obviously, if you do a second stimulus package, you will spend more money one way or the other that will add to the deficit. So maybe you've done something to address one economic problem, but you've probably aggravated a second pressing concern. So it's a difficult political mix.
And yet, unemployment at 9.5% now, people talking about 10% by late this year or early next, maybe higher next year. Paul Krugman, economist in the New York Times, saying do it right now or you're going to be back in the Great Depression where you wallow along and wallow along. What's the most forceful argument for another round, Jerry?
I think the most forceful argument for another round is that a lot of what is in the original stimulus package spins out slowly. Only about 10% of it has been spent out so far. Almost half of it is big infrastructure projects that will spend out over the next couple of years, and that may be good in the long run because you're going to have a long, slow climb out of the recessionary hole. But in the short term, there's still a problem, and the problem is, in fact, worse than people realized back in January and February when the stimulus was constructed. So the argument for a second stimulus package is you need some additional quick-hit items that will get us from here to the longer-term effects of the original stimulus package. And that might be, you know, extending unemployment benefits for workers would be a form of stimulus, for example, or, you know, tax credits for job creation, which Republicans like. That would be an additional but different form of stimulus. And this, I think, is an important one, Tom. The idea that states have really had to cut back on what they're spending because they're getting whacked in a big way by less income as people lose their jobs, less tax revenue, and more expenditures on unemployment benefits and welfare benefits.
California issuing IOUs.
Exactly, as the most extreme example, but not the only one. Mm-hmm. So I think you could make a case for more being done by the end of this year, simply to get money to states so they don't cut back further, which could slow down the economy even more in various states, important states around the country.
Larry Summers on the record saying, we're not going to need it. Laura Tyson, who advised Obama in the 08 campaign, saying in Singapore this week, get ready. You may well need this. What do we know about the argument or debate inside Obama's inner circle? Who's for it? Who's against it? Or is it clear?
I don't think it's clear. In fact, I'm not sure there's a great debate. I think there's probably a consensus within the Obama camp, at least among the people I've talked to this week, that we have to be open to it. We ought to be considering it, but we're not yet at the point where we ought to be planning for it. I'm not sure there's a debate so much as a view that we need to be prepared, but we don't need to launch yet by any means, and that may look like it's a debate because people characterize that situation differently.
Of course, obviously there is a debate in the broader context here with economists, Krugman, others saying, do it now or you're going to be hit with a depression kind of scenario. If and when a consensus came around to this, where's the money for this, Gerald Saab? I mean, the deficits are over the moon already, as we know. Where's the money? Where do you even borrow it now?
I'm not sure the money really is there, but I think the argument for doing it would have to include a recognition or a consensus that right now you don't worry about the deficit so much, that there are higher imperatives and that getting the economy growing is the best anti-deficit medicine of all in the short run and the long run, and so you do what you need to do right now to take care of it. The political imperative, by the way, is slightly different. The political imperative is 2010 is an election year. Obviously, everybody in the House is up for re-election. You're going to have Democrats who are very nervous about running or starting at least their re-election campaigns with the unemployment rate above 10%. That's a difficult situation to be in. And that is in the back of the minds of everybody in Washington right now.
And the criticism, the argument Republicans pulling out very much already is what? They're saying this didn't work at all. This was the wrong approach in the first place?
You get different arguments, but I think the kind of sensible Republican argument isn't that it was a mistake to do stimulus in the first place. I think most Republicans would agree that stimulus was and maybe even is needed, but that the stimulus that was drawn up by the Democrats in Congress, and keep in mind they constructed the stimulus package much more than the administration did, that they came up with the wrong mix of stimulus items, that there was too much traditional, Democratic kind of infrastructure spending on big road projects and green energy that doesn't have immediate stimulative impact, and that there should have been more on the tax cuts and tax credit sides because those things have more immediate impact. The flaw in that argument, actually, Tom, is that more tax cuts might have benefited more people, but it may not have benefited the economy because the tax cuts that have been put into place are mostly producing money that people aren't spending but that they're saving, which is a good and virtuous thing in many ways but doesn't do much to speed up the economy in the short term.
Jerry Saab, executive Washington editor of the Wall Street Journal, where he writes the Capital Journal column. Jerry, always great to have you with us. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Tom.
We're very glad to have with us right now from Washington, Christina Romer. She is chair of President Obama's Council of Economic Advisors, a leading scholar on the economics of the Great Depression, unfortunately relevant here. Christina Romer, thank you very much for joining us.
It's great to be here.
There's a lot of talk about another round of stimulus, stimulus two or stimulus three, if you count George W. Bush's initial one. Where are you coming down on this right now and why?
You know, where we're coming down is we currently have $787 billion of stimulus that's been passed. We're certainly focusing on spending that money as quickly and as efficiently and transparently as we can. And we think that's absolutely the right strategy. That's certainly going to be the money that can get out the door the quickest, and we're already doing that. So we think it makes sense to concentrate on that.
The vice president saying there was a miscalculation here over the weekend. Nobody expected the unemployment to be where it is right now. If there's a miscalculation, is that a justification to at least consider more stimulus money?
Yeah, I think it's important to realize that none of us has a crystal ball. So the way I describe what happened back in December and January and February is just we got a tremendous amount of new information. And certainly if you watch a lot of the private forecasts, everybody was changing their forecast very quickly precisely because we were finding out things like the rest of the world was going down with us. So the important thing, again, is to concentrate on where we are now. And where we are now is with a lot of fiscal stimulus there already approved. And an important thing that I think everybody needs to realize is, you know, we always knew it would take some time, even with a shovel-ready project, to actually get the money there and employing people. And an important fact is that it is ramping up substantially over the next couple of quarters. And so we certainly want to give time for that medicine to start hitting the economy.
Christina Romer, chair of President Obama's Council of Economic Advisors. It's great to have you with us. Please stand by. We have to take a short break here. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Talking this hour about the economy still in trouble and whether we need and can afford another round of stimulus. We're joined by President Obama's chair of his Council of Economic Advisors. Christina Romer is with us from Washington. She's an expert on depression, Great Depression era economics, and she's with us and right in the middle of our economic situation right now. Christina Romer, can we take a call?
Sure.
Mark in Amherst, Massachusetts. You're on the air with the President Obama's big advisor.
Hi there, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Get right to it. We don't have her for long.
Sorry?
Get right to it, sir. We don't have her for long here.
Sure. A couple of quick points. First of all, a concern about the deficit right now is preposterous. A concern about the deficit might be warranted if you have full employment and inflationary pressures. We have, 10% unemployment and a possible concern about deflation. So it's absurd. That's one. Second, your guest, I'm sure, is aware that FDR tried several public works programs, but the only thing that got us out was the public works program, otherwise known as World War II, which was a massively greater stimulus.
So you say more stimulus, Mark? You say more stimulus or not?
Well, yes. I mean, because the concern about the deficit is nonsense. Here's what's really
Let's pick it up with Christina, because we just have her for a few more minutes. Christina Romer, ridiculous to think about the deficit. Mark says, at a time like this, the only thing that bailed FDR out was the war.
Well, I think Mark makes a sensible point about, in the short run, given the terrible situation that we inherited, the large budget deficit that we inherited, the fact that we needed to do things to get the economy going again, it is, unfortunately right and appropriate that the deficit got bigger. I mean, that was just inevitable. I think where I differ a little bit, we absolutely have to think about the deficit looking down the road. And certainly that's something the president has said, that we need to, as the economy recovers, have a plan in place for getting it down. And, and this is one of the things I've been pushing so hard is why healthcare reform is so important. Because if you look at the studies coming out of the Congressional Budget Office, the number one thing that's going to blow a hole in the deficit as we go forward 20, 30 years is government spending on healthcare. And so doing those reforms now that genuinely slow the growth rate of costs, that's the thing that we can do right now to make us healthier, after we get through this crisis and bring those budget deficits down in the long run.
The vice president said over the weekend, that the administration undershot on its expectations of unemployment. It's already higher than was expected. So might that mean that you undershot on the size of stimulus needed as well?
As I was saying earlier, we certainly got a lot of information, all forecasters did, that things were changing quickly, and we certainly have seen the unemployment rate go up more than anyone, I think, anticipated. You know, I think the important thing is to concentrate. You know, we have done a tremendous amount to try to turn this economy around. It's not just the fiscal stimulus. Think of all the work we've been doing on a housing program to try to mitigate foreclosures, to allow a lot more people to refinance at lower rates. Those are things that are designed to actually help consumers do better, start spending
right.
again, the financial rescue. So all of them are part of a comprehensive package.
What would it take for you to say, you know what, we tried but it wasn't enough, it's time to pull the trigger? 10.5% unemployment, 11% unemployment. What would it take for you to advise that?
I think the crucial thing is, what's the direction that we're moving in, right? So one of the things that, you know, I think people have forgotten is just what the economy, I'm sure they haven't forgotten, but what the economy was like in December and January. We were truly an economy in free fall. And I think one of the things that we have been seeing is moderating conditions. We've started to see some of those leading indicators like building permits, orders for durable goods, those kind of things that tend to turn around before the actual economy turns around. You know, what I'm going to be looking at is, are we on the right path? And certainly, you know, we do have to give the stimulus the time to have an effect, so simply because we do know we're getting a lot more money out the door in the next several months, and to make, you know, and we'll be getting a read on, is that doing what we think it should be doing?
Are we on the right path right now? You saw the unemployment numbers for June that just came out last week.
So, I mean, of course, you know, that we were all disappointed at those unemployment numbers. Every person that's unemployed is a tragedy, and the numbers that we saw clearly were bad. I think the important thing is to not read too much into any one point of data. For example, right today we just got some information that initial claims for unemployment insurance mm-hmm. have dropped a lot. So I think we do have to realize there's a fair amount of noise in our indicators. I'm going to be looking at, you know, all of the indicators, and are we seeing them? We've got to be moderating the downturn before we actually turn the corner. And that's, you know, I want to make sure that we're still on that path. But, of course, we are concerned. That's why we are focusing so much on taking the stimulus that we have and using it as quickly and as effectively as we can.
Christina Romer, Chair of the Council of Economic Advisors for President Obama, holding up the torch of hope right there. Christina Romer, thank you very much for joining us.
Sure. It's great to be with you.
Great to have you. On ABC's This Week on Sunday, Vice President Joe Biden told George Stephanopoulos the administration had misread the economy. No one, he said, expected job loss to be so high.
The truth is, we and everyone else misread the economy. The figures we worked off of in January were the consensus figures of most of the blue chip indexes out there. Everyone thought at that stage, everyone. The bulk of
CBO was a little bit higher. I thought it would be
a little bit
higher.
But they're all in the same range. No one was talking about that we would be moving toward, we're worried about 10.5% or be 9.5% at this point.
But we're looking at 10 now,
no,
aren't we?
No, well, look, we're much too high. We're at 9.5 right now. And so the truth is, there was a misreading of just how bad an economy we inherited.
There's the vice president. Here's the president on Tuesday with ABC's Jake Tapper, standing by the original stimulus package, but saying the administration's thinking constantly about next steps.
There's nothing that we would have done differently. Now, the question that some have argued is, okay, what next? Maybe you've stopped the free fall, but you still have close to 10% unemployment. This is something that we wrestle with constantly.
And here's the Republican view on Fox News Sunday. House Minority Leader John Boehner slamming the stimulus package for failing to create jobs.
This was supposed to be about jobs, jobs, and jobs. And the fact is, it turned into nothing more than spending, spending, and more spending on a lot of big government bureaucracy.
Let's hear the debate about whether we should have more big spending right now to get this thing, keep it out of the ditch. Joining us from Washington, Dean Baker, co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, author of Plunder and Blunder, The Rise and Fall of the Bubble Economy. Dean Baker, thanks for being here.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
William Gale is with us, Vice President and Director of the Economic Studies Program at the Brookings Institution, putting out big warnings lately about the U.S. deficit. Mr. Gale, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Dean.
Dean Baker, first to you. What's the argument for? You're making it loud and clear this week.
More
stimulus.
Yeah, we're looking at a very serious downturn. I just want to correct our vice president. Some of us did know that this was worse than they had expected back in February, and it's unfortunate that the people who missed the housing bubble continue to be the ones that everyone relies on. You'd think missing an $8 trillion housing bubble would be a strike against you. But the basic story here is, we all know, we have the unemployment rate almost certain to cross 10% by the end of the summer, likely to cross 11% early in 2010, and there's really no source of dynamism in the economy. The only way, the only force that could turn the economy around is the federal government. And if it doesn't step in, we're simply going to see the economy continue to deteriorate. We're going to see more layoffs. As we know, we have state and local governments across the country with severe budget problems that are forced to make big cutbacks. And there's not any force on the horizon. I mean, I don't mean this will necessarily last for a decade. I don't know if we have a Great Depression. But the idea we're going to be telling 14 million people you're going to be without a job for years to come. We have 9 million people working part-time with, like, full-time employment. This is an incredible human suffering, incredible waste. And we have the tools to stop that.
William Gale, how about it? There's the argument. We're still toying with another Great Depression. We need more stimulus. And it's not too soon right now. What do you say? You're warning on the deficit front.
Yeah, I have been warning on the deficit front, and I think those warnings are important, but they don't preclude doing something now. If the, you know, there are a lot of budget people who think that fixing the budget is more important than fixing the economy. I think that we have to keep our eye on the economy. Fixing the economy is not only more important than fixing the budget, it's the best way to fix the budget in the long term. But that still doesn't necessarily militate in favor of a new broad-based stimulus package now for a couple of reasons. One is, not much of the existing stimulus has been spent, and both the high spending and the high multiplier items, the things that are supposed to take to have a big effect, are not likely to kick in until the summer, you know, the rest of the summer or the fall. And that's by design, and we understood when we passed the stimulus package that it was going to take time to implement it. And the second concern is whether bond markets will let us do another stimulus.
They'll lend the money to the federal government to do it.
Right. It's fine for me to say I think the economy is more important than the budget, but if the government goes out and borrows another $800 billion and the bond markets don't like it, they will react in a way that raises interest rates. And that feedback itself will have a negative impact on the economy. So I agree with Dean. There's a big problem. I don't see clear sources of dynamism in the economy other than possibly federal spending. But it's not clear that federal spending can work either.
And Americans really thinking and talking about this a lot. Let's hear from them right now. Terry in Burlington, Connecticut. Terry, you're on the air.
It seems there's no question that we need more stimulus in the economy, but do we need that from the federal government throwing money in without any real backing of that money, just printing more? Or would it also be assisted by some form of tax break, which gives a break to high-income as well as low-income individuals? Because if someone has 2% of $1 million extra in their pocket, they can put more in the economy, and those low-wage earners don't get laid off. They don't go into the unemployment rolls. The federal government still needs to do something, there's no question, but there should be a multifactorial approach that affects everybody, including having individuals who are high-wage earners having more money to put into the economy. And I wonder, my bigger question is part of the situation when this all started that the administration, realizing that economic cycles take place, just throwing options in there, knowing that maybe in 19 months the economy is going to start to turn around on its own, no matter what you do? However, we found out now that we're in even a deeper hole. It's going to take longer to get out, and that hope that it was going to resolve partly on its own is not going to happen, and now we have to deal with the outcome of an...
Yeah, Terry, let us pick it up. Dean Baker, what do you say? If there's more stimulus, of course, George W. Bush had some via tax breaks. Obama's some tax breaks and also straight-up spending. What shape? And would tax breaks do it? Do it better?
Well, they could. I mean, giving it to high-end people, I think, isn't the way to do it, because we know there's a lot of debt on this. If we gave it to high-end earners, they'll mostly save it, which obviously will make these people happy, but it's not going to do much for the economy. But, you know, my personal preference, if you want to, if you, you know, if President Obama were to ask me what we should do and get the economy going quickly, I've been tossing this idea about why don't we give an employer tax credit for cutting work hours. We give them a credit, say, up to $3,000, arbitrary number, where we say, you know, cut your workers' hours. You can give them paid time off, paid sick leave, paid family
leave.
You
cut their hours but pay them the same?
Exactly, exactly. So here's the basic story. Very simple arithmetic. What we're doing is we're putting money into the economy. We're telling employers, let's say we got employers of 100 million workers to do this, number out of the air. So we get employers of 100 million workers to reduce their workers' hours by an average of 5%. Let's say we got that. Okay, now everyone has just as much money as they did previously, so they have the same demand. Everyone's seeing exactly as much demand as they did previously, but they're getting 5% fewer hours out of their workers. In principle, they'd want to hire 5% more workers or 5 million more workers. That'd be a very quick way to create an awful lot of jobs.
Maybe,
now,
maybe
real world will be a little more complicated than that, but the basic story does apply.
Maybe in principle. I don't know if that sounds like a source of economic dynamism necessarily. Let's get a call from Lincoln, Nebraska, and Rob. Rob, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hey, man. You know, this, it sounds absurd as, you know, as I'm driving to my next job to work, you know, as I'm listening to this, you know, it's like an alcoholic saying, you know, just one more drink, you know, everything's going to be good, you know, or a heroin addict saying, you know, one more bump, baby, it's all going to be smooth after that, where, you know, spending is out of control. I mean, our Congress, and it's not Democrat and it's not Republican, I mean, people that aren't even reading the bills, they're not even doing the job that we hired them to do. I mean, and we think we can trust them with more money that really doesn't even exist.
Rob, let us pick it up. William Gale, you hear the metaphor Rob's got in Nebraska, an alcoholic or a heroin addict when he thinks about more stimulus.
Yeah, there are metaphors like that. There are metaphors on people who don't want to do anything as sort of standing on the deck of the Titanic saying everything's fine as the ship sinks. So there are plenty of metaphors to float around. I think the issue about the overall level of government spending needs to be parsed carefully. One can have the view, that apparently the caller does, that in general the level of spending is too high. That's different from saying that in a recession-prone economy like we have right now, that we shouldn't spend more to boost the economy. And so one of the problems with the public debate is the short-term and the long-term arguments continually get confused. And it's important to realize that what works in a long-term full employment situation is the opposite of what works in a short-term recessionary situation like we have right now. If we want to design effective policy to combat the recession, we need to focus on, how can we best boost the economy. Maybe that's an omnibus stimulus package. I don't know. The problem there is that spending takes too long and tax cuts tend to be saved. So the question is, what does the government do?
And in the meantime, you're writing, I mean, it was sort of harrowing pictures of what the deficit holds for this country and its economy not so very far down the road.
Oh, that's true, and those harrowing pictures are based on an economic recovery. If you want to see a really harrowing picture, look at the fiscal outlook if the economy doesn't recover.
Dean Baker, what's your metaphor here in supporting stimulus?
Well, I'd probably go along with the Titanic one. I mean, this idea that somehow it's a reasonable option to sit back and do nothing. I mean, we have a lot of people really suffering. Unfortunately, not many of them are economists. I sort of wish we had a program where we can make sure that economists were unemployed in the same percent as the population as a whole. But it's to my mind, just not a serious option to sit back and just say, you know, we're going to let the unemployment rate cross 10%, maybe it'll drift to 11%, and then figure out whether we want to do anything. This is really a disaster for tens of millions of people across the country, and for us just to be sitting on our hands saying, well, let's see what happens, I don't think that's very responsible.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the economy still in trouble and whether we need and can afford another round of stimulus. We heard earlier in the hour from Christina Romer, chair of the Council of Economic Advisors to President Barack Obama. With us right now from Washington, William Gale, vice president, director of economic studies program at the Brookings Institution. And Dean Baker is here, co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. Here's a little back and forth. First, Senate Minority Leader Republican Mitch McConnell telling Capitol Hill reporters this week that the idea of a second stimulus package made no sense to him.
Why in the world there would be any conclusion reached after looking at the results of the first stimulus that the way to deal with that is to pass yet another one is mind-boggling.
Here's White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs on Air Force One yesterday saying the first stimulus package is working.
Were it not for this recovery plan, you would see states in a more difficult place with far deeper holes to dig out of in terms of state budget deficits. You'd have even greater job loss.
The word from Air Force One yesterday. Let's get a call from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Byron, you're on the air with William Gale and Dean Baker.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Hi, well.
Thank you. I was listening to the show earlier, and they were talking about not with the tax break that President Bush gave us,
mm-hmm.
with the little checks we got back from there, which were small, right. but it was still great. We're not all going to complain about that. But mm-hmm. if we would have attacked this problem with the stimulus package from both sides of the house, it might have helped out. Obviously, we needed to put a Band-Aid on the banks and the car business and everything, and it didn't work along that line. But if we could have also stimulated from the other side of the economy with a little bit bigger checks, I think we might have seen something better at the time.
Would you favor spending on more tax break checks right now, Byron?
For us normal citizens out here, it would be nice. I think we'd spend it. I think somebody said earlier that if we give it to us out here, we'd just put it in savings and everything along those lines. But it's obvious that we gave the stimulus package to the bigger businesses, and they took the money and put it elsewhere that they needed it.
Byron, let us look at it. William Gale, if Washington comes around to doing something, what do you think would be most effective? You hear Dean Baker saying, you know, give a tax incentive to employers to cut work hours but not pay. Where would you put it if it comes to that, Bill
Gale? Well, first I want to say I think this is a much better discussion to have, not should we do stimulus or not, but what should the government be doing? One of the things that I think the government should be doing is addressing the housing market issues. The housing package that they put in place has simply not been very effective. It's too complicated, not many people use it, and it doesn't address the root of the issue, which is that people are underwater on their mortgages. If they were going to do some big initiative, I would like to see them give people's mortgages a haircut. So that people were back in the black on their house, and I think that would not only get the housing market going again, that would let people feel more comfortable about spending money. Until the housing market turns around, until the financial markets turn around, I think it's going to be very hard to stimulate the rest of the economy.
What else? A haircut on mortgage. I mean, who wouldn't like that? Of course, it's very expensive, but is
right.
that enough?
If they're going to spend money, I think it would be much more effective to actually try to fix the specific sectoral issues in housing and finance than it would be to sort of do a helicopter drop of money on the economy.
Dean Baker, what about those numbers for June unemployment that came out last week? How do you interpret what you saw there?
Well, it wasn't really that much of a surprise to me. I was surprised everyone was so surprised because we'd been getting very high numbers on weekly unemployment claims. And by the way, the numbers that Christine Romer touted, I think she knows those are very erratic because they had July 4th and there's a lot of
right.
seasonality issues.
That's one
here,
week
so
she
I
was looking
she
at. But people grasp whatever's out there.
Yeah, but in any case, the point is we're still losing jobs at a very, very rapid rate, which is, again, why, you know, I'm so concerned about us not doing anything. And again, I don't particularly blame the Obama administration here. They were going along with the consensus. The only problem has been that the consensus of economic forecasters has consistently been way over optimistic. None of them saw this downturn coming. None of them thought it would be anywhere near this severe. And every step along the way, they've continued to underestimate the severity of the problem, and therefore their solutions have been woefully inadequate. And just to give real quick numbers, my calculations, if you combine the fall off in consumption, the collapse of residential construction, fall off in non-residential construction, we're looking at a demand gap of around $1.3 trillion a year. And if you look at the real spending and the stimulus, 2009 and 2010, that's about $300 billion. So we're trying to fill a $1.3 trillion gap with $300 billion in stimulus. It's certainly better than nothing. I'm very glad it's out there. The president's press secretary, Mr. Gibbs, is exactly right. State and local governments, as bad off as they are, they're in much better shape because we have that. But it's nowhere near large enough.
You've been writing that, yes, the June numbers showed 465,000 jobs shed from the economy, but also that hours worked fell, and that if those hadn't fallen, you said that the equivalent job loss would be 900,000 jobs in June. That's pretty scary.
That's right. I mean, we're losing hours. If you just combine the jobs lost and the reduction hours at a rate of about 0.8% a month, that's a very scary rate, and that's actually as bad as the rate was during the worst months of free fall back in January and February.
Let's go to Ithaca, New York, and Tom. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Well, I want to say that I'm 79 years old. I have MS, and inflation has cut into my minimal Social Security. Now, for 3 months, I've been receiving $200 each month for food stamps. That goes immediately into purchases of food. I appreciate it. At the same time, I am a retired social scientist interested in economics and social development. And I follow your program, and I follow the government policies pretty closely. And the stimulus is important. And
would you like to see more of it, Tom? Do we need more?
Yes, more. And the money that goes into the hands of people who are very marginal, like me, gets immediately turned into purchases and the economy and the efforts that I make to earn money outside of that do too. And, you know, we're doing a project, a very green project, dealing with all that everybody benefits from the chickens we grow, and I appreciate the government stimulus program, and it's important. And 10% unemployment is indefensible.
Tom, thanks very much for your call, and we hope you've got a good crop of chickens there. It sounds like at that margin, every dollar really matters, and as you say, goes right into the economy. Let's get another call right here from Buffalo, New York. Dave, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for giving my call.
Mm-hmm.
Where I live, basically we have a real unemployment rate of near 40%, and you know that kind of leads to a collapse in economic demand, which is going to lead to this deflationary economic death spiral, so to speak. And you have that combined with this recent event that happened last summer called peak oil. That's where the production capacity of oil in the world just can't go any bigger because we've taken all the good stuff out. So the price spike that went with that when demand almost met supply of oil basically pushed everybody over the edge. We were in a bad way to begin with, what with the gambling and the fact that most people were leveraged, and rich people have basically extracted huge amounts of money from people's future earnings.
So more stimulus now or not, Dave?
You need drastically more stimulus, and you need it to create massive numbers of jobs really fast. Otherwise, things are really going to get ugly because you can't have places with 40% real unemployment for long. That's just completely unsustainable.
Let us pick that up, if you would, and thank you for calling. William Gale, I don't know about 40% real unemployment. That's outside my expertise. But how does this really work? You're writing about the deficit. There's Dave saying let's have massively more stimulus. I mean, yet the deficit grows. How do we ever work out of this?
There are two things going on here. One is everyone believes, I think, that if the government could intervene to improve the performance of the economy, that it's not only important but imperative that the government do so. So that's easy to say, and I agree with that. The hard part is knowing exactly what to do. Dean has put forth one idea about job credit, tax credits for cutting hours. My preference, as I suggest, would be focusing on restructuring
housing,
mortgages. There are constraints, though, on the effectiveness of any of these packages. And one of the constraints, if it's a spending package, is it's just hard to get the money out the door fast enough, which is something we've seen already. There's the bond market constraint. There's the constraint that businesses or households may not want to respond the way we would like them to respond. And then there's the state governments who are, you know, imploding. Now, all of these are reasons to try to find ways to have the government help, but there are also reasons why it's going to be hard for government policies actually to be effective. So we're sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place, and we should keep searching for good solutions, but they aren't easy to find.
But, you know, I think Americans' instinct is they want to do the right thing. If a stimulus would work, all right, let's go for it. But people are all aware of that deficit. You write about it very compellingly, $1.7 trillion this year, 12% of U.S. GDP. We haven't even approached that, as you write, since World War II. Talking about national debt accumulating so rapidly that it would ultimately stand at 82% of GDP. Now, just paint a picture for us. Let's say there were another round of stimulus. If it comes to that, how does an economy work its way out of the sort of deficits that come with that, Bill?
Slowly and over time. One way to think about this is that given this collapse in the stock market and the collapse in the housing market, one way to, quote, solve, unquote, all of our economic problems is just for everyone to cut their standard of living by 10%. Now, I'm saying the solve there is in quotes because, you know, no one would consider that a very happy solution. But in some sense, when there's been wealth destruction, there have to be adjustments to cut back. What all the stimulus efforts do is try to spread that adjustment, you know, over many years so that instead of growing, say, at 2% for 10 years, we grow at 1% for 10 years. And that difference between the 2% and the 1% over 10 years, that's our 10% reduction, but it's phased in over time. And these adjustments, you have a choice. You either take the hit now or you try to avoid the hit now, understanding that you're going to have to take the hit in dribs and drabs over time.
To a 10% cut in standard of living, that will get people's attention, even if it's stretched out. Let's go to Columbia, South Carolina, and Larry. Larry, are you there?
I am. Hi, how are you doing?
We're pretty well. What do you see?
Well, I wanted to say that I agree with the guest as far as the housing market is concerned. I think we do need another stimulus package, and we do need to give the housing, the people that are upside down in their mortgages, a haircut.
Is that you, Larry? Are you underwater with your mortgage?
I am underwater. We did get go through Bank of America, which my wife is an employee of, by the way, and we tried to get some help, and they were less than helpful as far as the refi goes, or the you know, just trying to do some kind of remodification of our loan.
So, and
if we did have more money, Tom, we would spend more in the economy.
Yep.
You know, we just don't see any type of relief coming in the form of a. Help as far as our mortgage is going.
There's the word straight from underwater. Larry, thanks for that. Let me get one more call here. Thank you, Larry. In Amherst, Massachusetts, Sean, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I run a small consulting company, and I'm involved in bridge construction.
Okay.
And I expected to see a lot from the stimulus package. I haven't yet, but I'm not concerned about that. I think that what's happening is really going well. I think patience is the key word. I think an earlier participant said something about World War II being a great stimulus. I think that's true, and I think what we need now is a war on infrastructure decay, which I think the government is engaging in. And I think that once, you know, I expect more work next year, and I think that it just takes time for these things to get rolling. And I think more stimulus money is a good idea.
So keep it coming and make war on a decaying infrastructure. Sean, thanks. Dean Baker, do you see that happening? I think a lot of people expected to see more than they may have seen so far in terms of jackhammers and bridge building.
Well, we are going to see somewhat more, but I think people would be wrong to think it's going to be anything on the order of, you know, what we saw back during the New Deal, unless, again, we get another bigger stimulus. There is more in the pipeline, so people will be seeing more projects. But, again, realistically, looking at the numbers of what's left to come, it's not going to be enough to really turn around the economy, nor, for that matter, really rebuild our infrastructure.
What's your political calculation then? Do you really see this coming in Washington? Republicans seem very unlikely to get on board. Conservative Democrats saying they're not. Even Harry Reid saying we're not going there. You say it's needed, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Well, people, members of Congress are going to feel pressure from their constituents, particularly as they see the elections coming closer, and the idea that they're just going to sit there with their arms folded and 10% of the population unemployed, I just don't think that's politically viable. So I think they are going to be talking about something, and then we're going to have the debate that Bill and I have been talking about here. How do you best structure? Which he's right. I mean, I don't, you know, I have my idea. I'm sure I'm not right, you know, or at least exactly right. I hope I'm mostly right, you know, but we have to figure out how best to structure, and I think Congress will turn to that. The sooner the better.
Bill Gale, what's your political read here? They're not exactly racing to it this week, though it's very much in the air. Do you see somehow the votes there for another stimulus, or are people saying no?
Well, as depressing, sorry for the pun, as depressing as the economics are, the politics are even worse. I mean, the calculus that the Republicans are making is that basically talking down the stimulus and talking down the economy is to their political advantage. And you'll only get a new package if they eventually come around and see it to be their advantage. And I'm pessimistic as to whether that will happen.
Well, the economy has a way of taking everybody by the throat sooner or later. We'll see what happens. Very grateful for your insights today, William Gale at the Brookings Institution. Thank you very much, Bill, for being with us today.
Thank you.
And Dean Baker at the Center for Economic and Policy Research in Washington. Dean, always great to have you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
Listeners, you can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. On Point is produced by Julie Jopp, Sam Gale Rosen, Ping Wong, Eileen Mata, Stefano Katsonis, Hillary McQuilkin, James Ross, Karen Schiffman, and John Wibby. Our senior producer is Wen Stevenson. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.